Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
I've spent the last month in the deep south of the United States. And over there, they say things like y'all, and they, strangers, complete strangers, will call you darling or honey. And if someone says, bless your heart, understand this. They have no intention whatsoever in any way, shape, or form of blessing you. That is not the intent when they say that. So if I go into Southern a few times during the message, I'm still working that back out, okay? So bear with me, and we'll try to cast that out over the next few weeks. But have you ever noticed that Christians have their own language as well? There's some cliches that come really quickly when we're in conversations like this. God won't give you more than you can handle, right? Or how about this one? When God closes a door, he opens a window, right? Or how about this? Be anxious for nothing when people are anxious. Or how about count it all joy? And here's one of my favorites, okay? All things work together for good, right? Now, a lot of those things are true. A lot of those things are even Bible verses. But sometimes they get used like spiritual band-aids. Maybe someone loses a job. Someone gets a diagnosis that none of us ever wanted. Someone has their marriage fall apart. Someone has been praying maybe for years and years and years, and that prayer has gone unanswered. And before the tears even dry, some well-meaning brother or sister in Christ comes up and says, well, all things work together for good. And that works, that helps, right? Of course not. In fact, when somebody says that to me in a difficult time, I want to say, how about if I punch you in the nose right now and say, that all works together for good, right? That's how it makes us feel. It's not because it's not true that all things work together for good. It's all about timing. Because when someone is experiencing a trauma, when somebody is going through grief, creating space, right? When someone's world is falling apart, they don't need a spiritual bumper sticker. They need real hope, right? We all know that. See, in Romans 8:28, that's that verse, was never written to dismiss suffering. It was written for people in suffering. You see, we mean well, but sometimes we unintentionally can make it sound like faith means that, it means pretending that things don't hurt. You know, Paul, the guy that wrote that verse in Romans chapter 8, that's where we're going to be spending some time today, he never dismissed suffering. He did not want us to diminish that. Today, I want us to see something really powerful, and that's this. Jesus followers don't deny suffering. We suffer with hope because God is still working. There's a big difference between pretending like we're not suffering and still having hope. See, we all know what suffering feels like, the grief, the disappointment, the unanswered prayers, the heartbreaks that we can go through at times. And often, those things aren't even the hardest part. The hardest part sometimes is trying to understand, where is God in all of this? Do You ask that question sometimes? Sometimes we're stuck in the middle of the story, and at times like that, here's the things that we wonder. God, what are you doing? Why would you allow this? Or why does it feel like nothing is changing? If you have ever asked those questions, you are not a bad Christian. You know what you are? You're a human. Because those things are normal. Romans 8 steps right into the middle of this. It says this, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Now, that's not going to make its way to a coffee mug or a t-shirt. All right? That's not the verses we put there. Yet, what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. He says, if we're going to share in Christ's glory, we need to understand that we're also going to share in his suffering. That means following Jesus is not without pain and suffering. It does not exempt us from pain and suffering just because we're going to follow Jesus. Sometimes Christians can feel pressure to act like pain doesn't affect them. And when we put that burden on someone, because we don't want to share in their pain, we don't want to hear about their pain, we don't want to feel their pain and the awkwardness of it, because we just want to be all happy and everything all the time. That puts such a huge, huge, huge burden that people are not called to bear upon them. It has nothing to do with being a follower of Jesus. Look at this. Romans 8 tells us in verse 22, it says, all creation has been groaning. It says, we believers also groan. And then it says, the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings. That word groan there means deep anguish. It means a deep longing because something is not right. And for you and I today, that reveals the problem that we're talking about today. The problem is that our groaning is real. It's very real. This entire section is dripping with pain and hurt, weakness, longing, and waiting because the world is a broken place. And that's why our bodies decay and break down. That's why relationships fracture. That's why anxiety exists and suffering exists and even death exists in this world. Aren't you glad you came to church today? See, Paul doesn't minimize pain and suffering, not even for a minute, because faith is not pretending like everything is fine. Faith is not fake smiling through it all. Faith is this. Faith is saying, hey, this hurts, but I still trust God. That's the difference. That's the difference for those of you today that are in the room and online and you're followers of Jesus. That is the difference. It's not that you're not going to suffer. You're not going to feel pain. It's that you're still going to trust God in the midst of it. There's a guy in the Old Testament that lived this out and gives us a great example of it. His name was Joseph. And Joseph was the favored son. He had ended up having 11 brothers, and he was the favored son, and his dad actually made life tough for him because he treated him special, and his brothers hated him. They were jealous of him. So they got an opportunity one day to get rid of him, and they threw him in a pit, right? Okay, and then they saw some slave traders coming along. They said, hey, if he dies in the pit, we get nothing for it. Let's sell him instead, all right? So Joseph's having a pretty bad day at this point, and I want you to get this. That was perpetrated upon him by the very people that should have been protecting him, that should have been looking out for him, that shouldn't be letting bad things happen to him. They sold him. And then in Joseph's life, things went from bad to worse. He got sold into slavery there, and then he was sold to a guy called Potiphar back in Egypt. And Potiphar was a powerful man, and Joseph was successful working for Potiphar. He was like his head servant kind of thing. And Joseph was falsely accused of liking Mrs. Potiphar a little bit too much. It was actually the other way around. Mrs. Potiphar was after Joseph, and he kept refusing. And long story short, and you can go read this, Genesis 37 through 50 in the Old Testament. But Mrs. Potiphar lied about Joseph. Joseph got thrown in prison. Bad day again for Joseph. And then Joseph interpreted some dreams, and there was one of the guys that was a baker, and he got killed. But then there was the other guy, the cupbearer, was supposed to help Joseph out when he got released from prison. And the cupbearer got out of prison, like Joseph said, and then he forgot all about Joseph. Joseph's having another really bad day, bless his heart. When Joseph, fast forwarding many years later, met his brothers again. They thought he was done for. They thought they would never see him again. And he said this in Genesis 45, or it says this about Joseph. It says, then he broke down and wept. The pain was real. Many decades later, Joseph still feels the pain of what his brothers had done to him. He's still carrying that grief. And some of you need to hear this today. Faith is not pretending that it doesn't hurt. It's okay to feel the pain. I've had some situations in life that have mirrored this. And many of you know we came to Australia as church planters because this was a pagan nation that had no churches, we were told. That's a joke, sort of. We were told that, and that's why we came. But God had different ideas and plans. And we came here as church planters. We were excited. We were passionate. We wanted to help people see the hope that they could have in Jesus. In the first month, we realized that we had walked into a mess. There was lots of conflict and controversy, but we're not afraid of conflict and controversy. So we're like, okay, God brought us here to help fix all this up. That didn't go so well. So we decided, they don't want it fixed, so we're going to put our head down and we're just going to do what God called us to do in the expression of a local church that he had given us. And we were seeing results. We were seeing people saved and baptized and growing in their faith, and the church was growing. It was great. But all the while, behind the scenes, we were being constantly criticized. Constantly brought down by the people who were supposed to be, they were our colleagues, they were supposed to be our friends. They were the ones that were supposed to become family here. There was plenty of bless your heart moments in those years. And eventually the organization that we were with decided that Stan, Indiana didn't fit with the organization. And you know what? They were right. Because we were way more concerned about seeing lost people come to Jesus than keeping religious people happy and comfortable. That's who we were. And so long story short, we literally got kicked out of Australia. God pushed us, or we got pushed out. We followed God on to the next assignment, which he graciously had provided for us. And we were excited about this next assignment at another church in the U.S. And a month in, the elders met with me, and they said, Stan, we didn't tell you this before you came because you wouldn't have come, but we brought you here to run the other guy out, the senior pastor. It's like, thanks so much. Bless your heart. We didn't do that. We instead ran out the church mafia. But it cost. It cost a lot. And by God's grace, he allowed us to come back to Australia a couple of years later. We came back carrying years of confusion, heartbreak, pain. There were seasons where all we could see was the pit. All we could see was the pain. All we could see was the prison. But God was writing a bigger story through all of that. You today have your own stories. You know, I just shared a little bit, a very little bit of one of ours. But you have your own stories. You know what you've been through that created that suffering, that creates the pain that you're feeling even right now. Even as we maybe sang some of those songs about rising up from the ashes and about the Waymaker, even when we don't see it, he's working and all those things. And it was right here in your heart. You know what I'm talking about? Or is it just me? I don't think it was just me. You know what I'm talking about. Romans 8 gives us permission to acknowledge our pain, but it doesn't leave us there. That's the beauty of it. Look what it says next. It says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Have you ever been so overwhelmed you don't even know how to pray anymore? You just say, God, I don't even know how to pray. I've prayed this prayer for so long. I'm hurting so deeply. You're exhausted. You've cried all the tears. You've said all the words. Paul says, that's when the Holy Spirit is there with you. He's there groaning with you. He feels your pain. And he is your advocate. He is your go-between. He is the one that's talking to God when you don't even know what to say to God, or when what you would like to say to God wouldn't be very pretty. The Holy Spirit interprets that. And he's there on your behalf in the midst of your weakness. Then we come to the classic verse. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Now, we need to be really clear here. The Apostle Paul is not saying all things are good. You see that? That's not what it says. It doesn't say all things are good. Everything's not good. Some things are horrible. Cancer is not good. Abuse is not good. Trauma, suffering is not good. Loss is not good. Betrayal is not good. Evil is not good. Paul's saying something much, much deeper, though. He's saying that God is so powerful. God is so faithful. God is so sovereign that he can work through even the worst of things to create something beautiful and good out of it. That's what we need to understand. And that's the promise that we need to cling to. The promise is God is still working, even in the midst of our groaning. Joseph's story, back to his story again. When Joseph was in the pit, he couldn't see the palace that he was about to go to. When he was in the prison, he could see no purpose for that. And when he was in the midst of his pain, he didn't see the provision that was coming. But God was working the entire time. Eventually, Joseph, after he met with his brothers, it said that he wept, and all the Egyptians heard him weeping. He was groaning. He was really a basket case, probably ugly crying. And then he gathered himself, and he said to his brothers, he said, hey, guess what? What you guys meant for evil towards me, God actually meant that for good. God used that for something beautiful, to preserve nations, multiple nations and peoples, because Joseph was there. See, Romans 8:28 in story form is Joseph's life. And notice, Joseph didn't say to his brothers, hey, guys, no worries, what you did was fine. He didn't say, hey, what you did didn't hurt me. It didn't cause me any pain. It was no big deal. It didn't matter. No, what they did was evil. But Joseph could recognize that God redeemed what they meant for evil. The things that we went through that I was sharing with you earlier about getting kicked out of here and out of Australia and everything. Going through all that was hard. Some of the hardest years of our lives. And through those years, God was shaping. God was molding. God was helping us become the people that we needed to be to do what he wanted us to do. And friends, I would not be here today by any stretch of the imagination had we not gone through those things. And some of you would say, wow, Bam, we missed, or we wish that had happened that way. Yeah, anyway. No. God has given us, Deanna and I, ministry beyond what we could have ever imagined, beyond what we ever deserved, because going through the hard things, he molded us and shaped us and made us who we are today. Some of you need to hear this today. Just because God is silent or seems silent doesn't mean he's inactive. Just because you don't see him working doesn't mean that he's not. God is still working even in our groaning. He's working everything together for good. And here's where I think we get confused. It's because we define good different than God does. You know, we look at it and we get frustrated with God evenly because we define good as easy. We define good as comfortable, successful, stress-free, pain-free. That's good, right? That is good. Yes, you can say that's right. That's how we define it. But God defines it a little bit differently. And Paul answers the question to what is good. He says this, for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose, for God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. Given them right standing, he gave them his glory. See, Paul says that God is ultimately working in us toward making us like his son, Jesus Christ. See, the purpose of our suffering is growth. Growth through groaning. So when you're suffering, when I'm suffering, when we're hurting and that pain is real, we need to remember, okay, there's some growth that can happen through this. God is shaping us, he's refining us, he's molding us, he's growing us. And often that happens when we're groaning. Anybody like the groaning? Anyone want to volunteer for suffering? I'm amazed. There's not a hand up in the place. Of course not. We don't want that. Nobody wants betrayal, disappointment, loss, any of those things. But some of the deepest growth in your life and my life happens in the seasons that we would never choose. Lean into this. You need to take this home with you today. Because sometimes God is doing a deep, deep, deep work in you that is well beyond all the things happening around you. Because this is God's ultimate goal for you. God's ultimate purpose is not just to change your circumstances. It's to transform your character. That's the purpose in the suffering. That's the purpose in the pain. Romans 8, verse 30 ends with glory, because this isn't even all about us. It's actually all about Jesus, because it's always all about Jesus. See, God is building a people who reflect his son, a people who are transformed by his grace, a people who trust him even in suffering, a people filled with hope. Because hope is not pretending life's easy, it's not wishful thinking and positivity, and it's not denial. It's a confident expectation that God is still working. That's what hope is. It gives us confidence even in the groaning. Joseph's story, coming full circle to the end of Joseph's story. After everything that he had been through, he had two sons. And his son's name summarized the story the way he saw it. The first son was named Manasseh, which means God has made me forget all my troubles. Because God provided that son. God has made me forget all my troubles. Does that mean he had no memory of it? No, that's not what that means. It means it was diminished in comparison to what God had done. The next son was named Ephraim, which means God has made me fruitful in the land of my grief. Fruitful in the land of my grief. He's made me fruitful even though I was suffering. See, he didn't pretend it didn't hurt. He didn't say the pain never happened. But somewhere along the journey, God brought healing. and restoration for Joseph. You know, God may not erase the memory. Sometimes we need to remember things so that we don't do the same things again. But God can still bring fruit from the pain. Our suffering is real, but so is hope, because God is working and God is bigger than this moment. He's bigger than our pain. He's bigger than our suffering. And we forget that in the middle of it because it doesn't feel like it. In fact, I don't even think it enters our mind, because we just can't get past how hard that moment feels. That's why Paul reminds us what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he is going to reveal to us later. Not because suffering is small, but because his glory is bigger. And that changes how we suffer. That's the bottom line today, guys. So what do we do with all this? Some of you walked in here today carrying very real pain. And I'm not for a second going to be under the delusion that a 30-minute sermon fixes all that. And it's all okay now because the pastor said some encouraging words and brought you some new thoughts about your suffering. Your pain is still there. It's still real. But I want to encourage you with a few things to take home with you. First of all, don't waste the groaning. Don't waste it. See, God can use suffering to shape us. So when we're in the middle of the suffering, in the middle of the groaning, instead of allowing that to make us bitter, we need to let God make us better through that. Don't run from God in your suffering. Run to God in your suffering. Some of the deepest intimacy you're ever going to experience with God will happen in seasons when he's all you got. Some of you would know our youngest daughter, when she was 17 years old, ended up having a bone marrow transplant. We thought we were going to lose her. That was over a year's process before she experienced that. And there were days that there wasn't a lot of hope. And I remember one day when she was laying there in the hospital bed, I asked her, Jill, oops, said her name, are you angry with God? And I was probably projecting onto her, if I'm honest. And she said, what? Why would I be angry with God? He's all I've got. Yes. It's beautiful, beautiful. Don't waste the groaning. Because maybe instead of asking, how do I get out of this? You can ask, God, what are you trying to grow in me through this? Don't waste the groaning. Then next, stop interpreting God through your pain. Pain is a terrible interpreter. When you're hurting, it is easy to think that God has abandoned you, that God has stopped caring about you, that he has forgotten you and he stopped working. And friends, what we're doing when we interpret it that way, we are trying to interpret the whole book, but we're still in chapter 3. We're looking, trying to picture the whole puzzle, but we've only got one piece in our hands. God sees all of it. We need to remember that. And instead of interpreting God through our pain, we need to start interpreting our pain through the character of God. He's faithful. He's good. He's present. And he's working even when we don't see it. Then finally, we need to hold on to hope. Hold on to hope. I'm not talking about fake positivity. I'm not talking about smiling through the pain and pretending everything is fine. I'm talking about the hope that says, even when life is hard, even when it hurts, God is still faithful. Catalyst, there is hope when life hurts. There really is. Because we know something powerful, that when life hurts, God is still working. In the waiting, He is working. In the suffering, He is working. And friends, for those of you that are already followers of Jesus, you know what? One of the most beautiful and powerful things for the world to see is not Christians who never suffer, but Christians who suffer, who go through rubbish and still have hope. And when they see that, you know what we see? We see hope multiplied. We see hope multiplied in families. We see hope multiplied in marriages. We see hope multiplied in our communities. And we see hope multiplied when people see Jesus in you and in me. So don't lose heart. Wherever you're at today, whatever pain that you brought with you today is not the end of your story. Because God is still working. And He wants to multiply hope, not just in you, but through you, to the world around you. Father, thank you so much for the verse that does tell us you're working all things together for good. Lord, I pray that we would walk away from here today with a new perspective on that. That it would be more than a cliche, that we can understand, Lord, that we can have hope when we're hurting. We can have hope in the midst of the pain because you are faithful. You are still working. Lord, for those who have tried to push their pain down and act like it's not real, maybe for decades even, I pray that today they would have the courage to say, you know what, life does hurt, and I need to lean into the hope that only God can give. Lord, I pray that you would bless people with that today, that people would be able to lean into that rather than just pushing down the pain and living a lie. Thank you for the pain that we do experience, Lord. That's hard. That's a hard prayer to say. Thank you for the pain. You tell us that in all things we're to be thankful, Lord. We can only thank you in the pain because we do have some stories that we can see where you did work things together for good. Lord, even today as I've shared some of my own stories, it's easy to share the stories of the past when it's come good. But Lord, in all of our pain, mine too, we pray for comfort, we pray for healing, we pray for peace, and we pray for hope. In Jesus' name, amen.